104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Forkless Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
It is a big day and, well, a big night, too, in college basketball. The biggest, of course, right up in Lexington, Kentucky, just a tad up the road. Number 5, Kentucky, hosting number 1, ranked Tennessee. Big ball game tonight. Billy the Legend is in Lexington. We'll be at the game, and he'll be joining us at the bottom of the second hour, talking not only about this ball game, but, well, talking a little hoops. Good morning. Welcome into Forklift System Sports Saturday. Of course, we are your big lift each and every day of the week, not only on weekends. Forklift Systems. 16th of February, a little bit over halfway through. Hope you had an enjoyable Valentine's Day. Always a neat day for, well, even if you're not married, I think it's a pretty big day sometimes. I've been married so long now that I don't remember when I was 16, 17, or 18, but big day, and of course, always kind of a warm and fuzzy feeling day for those of us who maybe don't get warm and fuzzy all the time. Gang's all on tap today. Tony Barnhart will be with us. Charles Davis will be with us. And, of course, Billy the Legend. And we'll have a jam-packed 2 hours of talking college athletics with you. Topics I'm going to be taking a look at today myself. And then we'll be talking, of course, with Tony and Charles and Bill about their expertise. The move towards immediate eligibility for underclassmen. It is moving along a lot faster than most people thought, I being one of those. We'll look at the stats since the start of all this. Again, we're talking about undergrad, not grad transfers, where it's headed, and maybe some of the possible pitfalls. Awful lot of good things, too. I will say this. I don't think it's what the committee envisioned when they started out putting this in. Again, we'll discuss that today. Signing day all over for 2019 for coaches. Now what? We'll take a look at the preseason practice work and what coaches are doing now, football coaches are doing now, getting ready for spring practice and the upcoming season, of course, making some adjustments to their staff. Speaking of coaching staffs now filled out for the most part. That always happens after the February signing day. Coaches moving here, coaches moving there, assistants and head. Quite a lot of assistant changes for this year, but very, very few head coaches around the country, none in the Southeastern Conference. That is somewhat unusual in a 14-team league, and we got a bunch of them out there now. Those of us, I wouldn't put myself in that category, but anybody that's looking for maybe just a slight chink in the Alabama success, 7 new assistants this year. That's 70%, 7 out of 10 assistants new at Tennessee. When I say new, there are a couple of them have come back. Anyway, a lot of movement this year and also a lot of money for assistant coaches and coaches' salaries. That seems to be going up and up and up and up every year as more money comes into this sport. As I mentioned, though, no head coaching changes in the Southeastern Conference. The Missouri situation, if you've been following that, on probation, all seniors have the ability, if you are senior eligibility-wise, to leave now and be immediately eligible. Head coach out there doesn't like it much. I don't blame him. We'll talk about why it is that way, why the rules stipulate that. Are they right? Are they wrong? Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. That's what they are, and we'll talk about that. Way too much easing of transfer rules, though, going on right now, and that could have a real effect, an unforeseen effect on college football. We'll take a look at that. The AAF, the Alliance of American Football, started last weekend. We'll see another weekend this week. Kind of an interesting league from the standpoint of rules changes. Here's what part of this league is going to do. Again, the AAF, the Pro Football League, that is somewhat sanctioned by the NFL. It's not part of them. They're not funding it, but they are working very closely with this league. And they're going to use it, the NFL is going to use it, to look at rules and possible rules changes. Doing things in this league that are a little bit different, change football a little bit from a rules perspective. And we're going to talk about that today because that will probably filter down to college football, or it could go to college football first. So possible future changes. We will be talking about that today. I was out in Oklahoma this past week. I spent some time with my family and also spent a little time down in Norman, Oklahoma, where the University of Oklahoma is. Interesting to talk to people out there. We get a lot of talk, or at least I get a lot of talk, of course, down this part of the country about Southeastern Conference football. And it's always interesting to me to go and talk to other places about what football coaches in particular, but not always coaches, administrators also, and then just some fans about where they see college football. That is a huge area out there for college football. University of Oklahoma has been ever since I was a little boy and before I was a little boy. But interesting to talk to them about the Southeastern Conference. Certainly there's a competitive aspect to this. A little jealousy, maybe. We probably have some things that we're jealous of them for. But bottom line is this is the strength of this league. And then talking to them about where the Big 12 is. More from an administrator's and coach's perspective, but really two teams out there right now. Most everybody out there agrees that for the Big 12 to be anywhere near where they want to be from a power perspective in college football, both Texas and Oklahoma have to be good. They are the two right now, well, they're the only two really big tradition programs. Yes, other teams are playing good football, but when you look at Iowa State and Kansas State and Oklahoma State and West Virginia and Baylor and Texas Tech, those teams are good programs. They're not traditionally great programs. Texas is much closer to being back to a national power. Talking to the Oklahoma people, they certainly realize that, and it all gets down to recruiting. And, of course, the other big topic is out there, and I think there's going to be a move to do this. This came more from the administrators at Oklahoma, talking about, I think there's going to be a move and big push trying to get Texas A&M, possibly Missouri, but certainly Texas A&M to come back in to the Big 12. Now, that's coming from non-Texas A&M people. I don't think, well, there will be a push to get that done, and it really makes more sense for Texas A&M to be in the Big 12 from a regional standpoint, other things. But quite frankly, everybody I've talked to that knows anything about Texas A&M tells me they're tremendously happy in this league. So that's just some of the things that we will be talking about today. All today on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. As we go to break, let me talk to you about Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Hey, when was the last time you did something fun with your family and your friends? Maybe even your coworkers, maybe a get-together for a corporate party or a fundraising event, or, well, just a group activity, maybe an old softball team or a baseball team, or just people you like to get together with and have a lot of fun. Ages, bring the kids, bring the grandparents. It's a place for everybody, and that is Strike and Spare. Why? Because you can almost anybody can bowl. They have a way for you to bowl. They have all these different types of things that you can do. We all know what they are, but bowling is so much fun and very inexpensive. And at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, bowling, games, great food, drink, entertainment for all ages. They're open 7 days a week. That includes holidays. 5 Middle Tennessee locations. All their locations have their own Facebook page, so check them out. And as old Larry Smith likes to say, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This February, it's all about the love from Walker Chevrolet. For over 90 years, Walker Chevrolet has been making customers number one. Walker Chevrolet has the all-new Silverado LT starting at $39,752. If you love SUVs, Walker Chevrolet is your Cupid. 2019 Equinox starting at $23,145. At Walker Chevrolet, it's all about the love they have for their customers. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KC110941. Equinox offer stock number, KL201689.
Are you putting your money to work for you? If not, ask about a certificate of deposit at Wilson Bank and Trust. With special offers and terrific rates all year long, a CD from Wilson Bank gives you the flexibility to meet your savings goals, whether you're in the market for a long-term investment or something with a quicker return. And if you use Wilson Bank and Trust for your everyday banking, banking services, you can earn an even higher rate with a relationship CD. Call or stop by Wilson Bank and Trust and let's get your money to work as hard as you do. Member FDIC.
Same Mid-South Business Furniture, brand spanking new location to better serve our customers. 1830 Airlane Drive, Suite 13 is our new home, and right now, great deals with savings of up to 70% on all excess desks, chairs, filing cabinets, etc. Visit us on the web at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com or stop by 1830 Airline Drive, Suite 13, and take advantage of our great deals.
Mid-South Business Furniture, Mid-South Business Furniture, Mid-South Business Furniture.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Stover's Liquidation's crushing it with great deals like luxury vinyl plank, 100% waterproof, many styles, all for just 69 cents per square foot. Solid hickory saddle, just $3.59 a square foot. Nobody stocks more plank look porcelain tile than Stover's Liquidation. Hundreds of selections, just 99 cents per square foot. And a huge selection of porcelain tile, just 69 cents a square foot every day. So visit Stover's Liquidation, 12966 Old Hickory Boulevard in Antioch, or online at StoversLiquidation.com, Stovers.
Now, Forklift System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Charles Davis will be with us a little later in the show. Going to talk to Charles about, a couple of different things, but really kind of take a look at the what he sees with these liberalized, lessening of transfers and the transfer rules. I don't know exactly where we are on that right now. I do know that it's headed in a direction more quickly than most coaches would like, probably all coaches would like, and many of the people that have trying to get this thing under control. I don't know. I'm not sure they can get their arms around all that. Tony Barnhart joins us, of course, Mr. College Football. And about twice a year, Tony's on with us 52 weeks out of the year. Well, he usually takes a few shows off occasionally. Occasionally, though, that, you know, he likes to be known as more than just a football guy. So I consent to one time a year letting him make a comment or two about basketball. Tony, I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to do this, and then we're going to get into your expertise. Not that you don't know a lot about basketball, not saying that, but Mr. College Football is Mr. College Football. So shoot it to us. I know you've been talking to some of your gurus in basketball around the South. What do you hear?
Well, yeah, I wanted to do a piece on my website about the Tennessee basketball team. We know they're ranked number one. You know, just how good are these guys? And I talked to a few people, including Jimmy Dykes of ESPN, who's a guy I really, really respect. You know, former coach, knows the game inside and out. He spent a lot of time with Tennessee watching film with Rick Barnes and practice and stuff like that. And he just has some neat things to say. Now, this is before the South Carolina game the other night, and he just talked about, of all the teams he's seen this year, Tennessee has the best basket, what he calls basketball culture. It's an old school group, and Rick Barnes is definitely an old school guy. He just says he believes Tennessee is one of about four or five teams that could win the national championship. He's very, very impressed with Tennessee, and that I've watched them four or five times this year. Obviously, I'll watch them tonight against Kentucky. And it is a team that can absolutely win the national championship because of its talent and its depth.
Tony, there's so much talk in this part of the country, rightfully so, about college football. You know, that's something that goes way, 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 way back. NCAA basketball, college basketball for years in this league was basically three, maybe four teams at the very most. You go back and look, even in the early days, it was Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Those three teams were all with there. Mississippi State sometimes, but for the most part, it was just kind of played at other schools. That changed, and you've kind of documented it on this show, about 4 or 5 years ago now. And mm-hmm. The thing is that if you look around and really look at the coaches that have been brought into this league and the talent that followed those coaches into this league. And the style of play in this league right now, this is no longer just another sport in this league. This is a high national sport that has a lot of really quality teams and quality coaches playing in it.
Well, yeah, and give Commissioner Greg Sankey and also the late Mike Slive a lot of credit, because they said, look, we're not – this was after a year – I can't remember which year it was, but they only got three teams in a tournament. And they said, we have got to address this issue. And they went about formulating a plan. And, yeah, we've talked about it before. They brought in Mike Trangisi, the former Big East commissioner, who's given credit, along with Dave Gavitt, of building the Big East into an incredible basketball conference. And Mike Trangisi, and I've had many conversations with Mike about the meetings he had at the SEC. And he was very, very candid in what the SEC needed to do. And he gave them a lot of feedback. And the SEC has followed his plan. And it starts with, of course, coaches. And they have, think about all the coaches that have come into this league in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, and what gets coaches into a league like this? Money, that's one, certainly, yep. But also an emphasis on it. And schools have made a much bigger emphasis on it. You look around, you know, there's so much money now coming in, primarily because of the football, but also basketball also, that facilities are so much better. You take a look around the Southeastern Conference now at the places who used to kind of play in, well, they weren't top notch facilities, let's put it like that. That's no longer true. So anyway, we'll talk with Bill about that, and the Kentucky is up at the Kentucky game, and it should be a great ball game. You're looking at two teams that are right up there in the top five. Kentucky had a interesting loss this past week. But anyway, we'll talk with Bill about that. Let's get into just a little bit football. Tony, no head coaching changes in the Southeastern Conference. As a matter of fact, I don't have the exact count. Very few head coaching changes a lot around the country this year.
Yep.
I was visiting with, as you know, I was out in Oklahoma this past week. Was at the University of Oklahoma for a while, talking just with some of their people. And kind of interesting that, you know, when you talk to administrators, and when you talk to coaches and people that are greatly involved in the football aspect of it, why so few changes? And a couple of them had some interesting comments on it. Number one, good jobs being done out there. But secondly, I think administrators now and pushed, and I'm talking about athletic administrators, athletic directors, pushed, I'm sure, by their presidents and or chancellors, guys, these buyouts are a little bit out of control. I think they're looking more and more and more at that. Now, I don't know if that's the main reason why there wasn't many changes made, but I don't think there's any question it was part of it.
No, absolutely not. They said, look, let's have a little more patience. Let's stick with a guy, and then let's get these buyouts under control. And that is definitely a factor moving forward. I mean, look, it had an impact on the situation at Auburn. Let's face it. I think if the buyout had not been as high as it was for Gus Malzahn, there would have been a lot more pressure to make a change. But it didn't happen, and that was a factor.
Anyway, head coaches, no changes in the Southeastern Conference. Assistant coaches, though, not so much. I mentioned one of the top talking points, and I'll do this more a little bit later in the show. But Tony, if you're looking for a little chink in the Alabama, I started to say armor, but situation. If you're looking for one of those, I guess one thing you can maybe try to hang your hat on a little bit is 70% of their assistant coaches are new this year. I read that, heard that, and then I started looking. Yeah, they're kind of new, but they're really not kind of new. Steve Sarkisian, Sarkisian is new, but he's not really new. So, but again, if you're looking for something, that's a big change, and that's, I'm sure, going to be one of the things that's really front and center for Coach Saban. That's one thing that he's proven over the years. I think he knows what he's looking for in assistants, and he is so hands-on with the coaching part of it that we'll see. But again, that's that's one thing that if you're really searching deep, maybe, just maybe, that'll help bring them back to the pack a little bit.
Well, he went from one of the youngest coaching staffs he's ever had to this is one of the older staffs he's had. These guys are, you know, guys like Sal Cenceri and Charles Kelly and guys like that have been around. Kyle Flood, been around for a while. So to me, that'll make it interesting because he's, you know, he got what he wanted out of the young coaching staff. He got another number one recruiting class. So let's see with veteran guys, veteran X's and O's guys, how this works out.
Well, you mentioned that he probably from a ranking standpoint, the best class he's had at Alabama. Now, again, that's from a ranking standpoint. And Tony, you know, you're right. You mentioned you look at he brought some veteran coaches in. Most of these coaches, not all, but most of them have head coaching experience and or extensive defensive defensive and offensive coordinator experience at a multiple of programs, many in the pros also. So anyway, that's one thing we can kind of look at. But big movement everywhere else, and boy, big dollars being paid now for coaches. Right now, Todd Grantham, I think the latest to get up somewhere around $2 million, $1.8 million. He took a little interview. Why do college coaches interview for other jobs or put their name in there, particularly pro jobs? Well, some of them are seriously looking at it, but they know also that if they've done a good job, it's about the only way you're going to get a significant raise. And I would say Todd Grantham, the defense coordinator at Florida, got a significant raise out of this.
Well, what was interesting about it, he got the raise in January. Scott Strickland, the athletic director, gave him a $400,000 raise in anticipation that he would want to do this, that he would want to do some interviews. So he went from 1.4 to 1.8, and give Scott Strickland credit. At least he put himself in a position to say, hey, I gave you a $400,000 raise. I traded some texts with Todd Grantham. He really wanted to stay, but he really wanted to go through the process.
Todd Grantham, if you followed this show and heard me talk about the defensive coordinators in this league, there's a group of them who kind of grew up. They coached the exact same system. Grantham's one of them. Jeremy Pruitt's one. Derek Ansley, who just came in, is one. Kevin Steele is one. I'm missing some in there somewhere. But anyway, Grantham, one of those. They talk a lot, they coach a lot, and they coach a lot alike and share a lot of thoughts with each other. And all of them have really moved up into significant roles as defensive coordinators. Kevin Steele, as I mentioned, one of those. Kevin's already making $2 million. Clemson's Brent Venables, not one of that group, but he's making over $2 million. Dave Aranda, still the leader at $2.5 million, and there is big, big money in coordinators. And you talk to some of these guys, they're perfectly happy being a coordinator. If you can make $1 million, if you can make even less than that, but most of these guys are making significantly more, why be a head coach? You don't have the headaches. You don't have to worry about the press. You don't have to worry about drug testing. You don't have to worry about the president of the university or the athletic director. All you got to do is go out there and coach and recruit. And if you love to coach and you somewhat like to recruit, it is a great living and a great job.
Doug, let me ask you this as a coach. What does it say about the game that almost all the guys that are making $1.8 million and above towards $2 million are defensive guys? What does that tell us?
It tells you this, that the most difficult thing to coach in college football now, and even pro football for that matter, is defense. Why? Because of all the rules changes. If you look at I haven't documented every single one of them, but just go back and look at all the different rules changes that have happened in college football. Let me give you one of the biggest that kind of goes under the radar, and it happened about 25 years ago, was when they moved the hash mark in college football, more to where pro is, to where you didn't have a short side of the field. It used to be a third, a third, and a third. A third outside the hash and a third inside the hash. So a defensive coach could align their defense to kind of force you to run into that short side of the field. That's not true anymore. But look at all the rules that have been changed. Number one, offensive line instead of, you know, it used to be you could not even, you had to have your hands in close to your body. You couldn't extend them. Now you can extend them as much as you want to. Rarely do you see holding called. Occasionally you will, but rarely do you see holding called. That rule is, has been changed. The targeting rule is all almost 100% a defensive rule. You know, you got pass interference that has so been so liberalized now that they it's not 50-50 anymore. They don't look at who, you know, it's a rule that is a great majority of the time called against the defense. Now, sometimes those calls are good. But anyway, that's the bottom line on it, is that it is more difficult to coach defense. And that's why they're paying those guys the big dollar. It's also harder to recruit defensive players because in high school now, most or many of the skilled athletes, they want to be on the offensive side of the ball. They want to be the quarterback. They want to be the running back. They want to be the wide receiver. Defense is not so much. Hey, let me do, Tony, I'm up against a little break here. I want to come back and continue talking about that, though. Before we go to break, let's bring on our good buddy coming on a little early today with us, Hunter McCarty, R.J. Young. Hunter, how are you?
Doug, I'm doing very well.
Well, glad to get you on here. I know you're actually working today. Congratulations. You know, some of us have to work on weekends.
Yeah, I'm one of those today.
Well, that's the only, I don't work during the week, so I guess I don't have much to complain about. Let's talk about R.J. Young. You know, sometimes, and I'm a little different because I've been with R.J. Young over 25 years, but sometimes we think of R.J. Young copiers and printers. Boy, that's true. It is about copiers and printers, but so much more. Let's talk about a few of those things right now.
But Doug, that is correct. I know we've done a good job of being recognized as one of the copier and printer dealers in the United States, as well as the region, and also, of course, in Nashville. But we also manage print fleets. We also provide equipment and personnel for an in-house copy centers and mail rooms, and then we provide logo wearables and promotional items. And we have a fully staffed digital print center for fulfillment and large format printing, along with providing what we call back file scanning of hard copy to digital documents. So really, when you think of R.J. Young, we hope people start thinking about us as an eclectic company that does many things to help business run smoothly. And, of course, we're always working hard to try to minimize cost and reduce expenses where we can for our customers.
Let's don't forget, too, folks, you know, they also do an excellent job, R.J. Young, in the logo, wearables, and promotional items. That's something that was been added here recently, and wonderful in that. And, of course, Hunter, everything always backed by the exclusive We Make It Right guarantee.
That is correct, Doug. Everything that we do with the customer is always backed by that guarantee that we've had for over 20 years now.
Thanks for coming on early with us. Have a great meeting, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, Doug. Thank you.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports. Here in Nashville, folks know that we have been providing late model import automobiles for over 25 years. And the one thing everyone wants to know is where to have their car serviced. We now have a service facility that we're excited to be opening in downtown Franklin at the corner of Hillsboro Road and Highway 96, where we'll be able to provide maintenance all the way up to engine and transmission repair. And our auto spa can take care of detailing and any cosmetic repairs. Find us at Bellmead, Cool Springs, and now Franklin, and at GlobalMotorsportsInc.com.
Hey, are you turning 65, or you already at 65? Well, it's one or the other. You're either there or you're not there. But bottom line is, maybe it's time you take a look at your health care, at your health plans. Farm Bureau Health, outstanding folks, 70-plus years right here in Middle Tennessee. All of their claims, or all of them, are processed right down in Columbia, just right down the road. You can check out all of their plans at fbhealthplans.com. I went with them about 3 or 4 years ago, been tremendously pleased. Number one, I wanted to be with a Tennessee company. I like working with folks in the area, or at least certainly in the state. I found both at Farm Bureau Health, and along with that, an outstanding health care insurance company. Their F plans, indeed all of the supplement plans, Medicare supplement plans, they're all the same no matter where you go. That's what the federal government dictates. The only difference, two things. Number one, the difference in how much you pay for your monthly premium and the service you receive. The fact that they're just right down the road certainly was big in my changing over to Farm Bureau Health.
All their plans available at fbhealthplans.com.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced, each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
Now, Forkless System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Charles Davis will join us in the next hour. And, of course, Bill Justice up in Lexington for the big game today. We'll be talking with him the last half hour of the show, maybe a little bit more than that today. A lot going on in college basketball. By the way, tomorrow, Big Orange Sunday. We'll talk about the Kentucky game today with Bill. Also going to look at the coaching assignments and changes on the new staff, or at least the new members, the rearrangement. At the University of Tennessee. We'll take a look at the 22 youngsters, young men who signed with the University of Tennessee, how they'll fit in, where they're probably going to line for spring practice, and then take a look at the what Tennessee will most likely be doing this spring, all at 8 o'clock tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday. Tony and I are talking about, several things in the football end of it. Tony, let me just kind of finish up about the why defensive coordinators are paid so much. The other part of it is this. Defense, and I was fortunate enough, some of it was by design, that I coached almost equally the number of years. 20 years I coached, 9.5 of them were on defense and 10.5 of them were on offense. Almost exclusively as a defensive coach. And the other part of it is that defensive coaching and playing defense is reactive. You have to react to what the offense does. Now, you can be aggressively reactive, and some defenses get good enough, very few, where they can actually dictate what the offense is doing. But primarily, the offense dictates what you can do. And if you go back and look through college history, the different formations, whether it be the wishbone, where you had three backs in there, the single wing, or a spread offense, whether you have a quarterback that can run or can't run, you're always reacting to that. And because of that, you have to really change your personnel. What have we seen in the last 5, 6, 8 years? We've seen defensive linemen go from big, physical run stoppers to now a little bit smaller, a little bit more athletic, able to stay out on the field longer because of the no huddle. So you're always reacting. That's the biggest thing. Now, that's one of the things that I really liked about coaching defense. I wasn't a defensive player. Only played 1 year of defense in college football. But offense is, for some, more fun to play. I think coaching defense is more fun to coach, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And another thing that strikes me from listening to what you're saying, Doug, is that, you know, if you've got a defense, and particularly in this conference, if you've got a good defense, you got a chance. I mean, offense can be spotty from week to week, but what the old coach said? Defense travels. Defense is something you can hang your hat on. It's kind of like Auburn. I mean, Auburn Auburn has been up and down offensively for a few years. But with Kevin Steele there, they've been pretty darn consistent on the defensive side of the ball, and they have a chance to win. So I think that has something else to do. These really great coordinators are hard to find, and once you get one, you've got to keep him.
You know what's hard to do? We just saw Jim Leavitt leave Oregon. Now, I don't know the reasons that Jim Leavitt left Oregon. He was the defense coordinator out there. Of course, he'd been a former head coach and an exceptionally good defensive coach. The other part of it now, with all the money in the sport right now, you got egos you got to take care of. Yep. One of the things I'm going to talk about tomorrow, Tennessee's got 10 assistant coaches. Now, I'm just using Tennessee as an example because I think it would fit most programs. Five of those 10, over half of them, have some type of coordinator coordinator title. You know, well, as I've said last Sunday, you can take those coordinator, whatever you want, assistant head, assistant this, throw them out the window. There's only one head football coach, and normally there's a coordinator both sides, and everybody else kind of gets in line behind that. So, you know, you may be the assistant head coach, but all that really does is probably get you a little bit more money maybe, or maybe make you feel better about yourself. You may be the coordinator of the running game, or coordinator of the passing game, or coordinator of the defense. You know, it means nothing. It's just a way. It used to be a way to pay more money. They're all making good money right now, so it's kind of stroking their ego a little bit.
Right.
Well, coach, I got to have some title. So when I'm applying for a head job, okay, well, what if I name you the coordinator of timeouts? You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of what it's got down to. So right. Anyway, but it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing on that. All right, let's get into a few other things. You got anything else on that?
No, that does it.
Let's get into a few other things. We talked about some of the coaching changes. You just mentioned a couple of those. And we talked about Todd Grantham staying put. Tim Horton, kind of interesting, coming to Vanderbilt as running back coach. He was at Auburn how long now? Five, 6 years?
6 years, yeah. Did well. They had five straight 1,000-yard rushers. Then last year they did not have one, and that was more of a function of the offensive line than it was running back.
So, well, and I'll say this too. Again, I coach running backs, so when I talk about running backs, I coach running backs for 9 years, 9.5 years. And as I've said before, and I mean this, and I played running back 1 year in this league. A monkey could coach running backs. You really could. It's about talent. And so, I was fortunate enough in Tennessee to have several young men. Matter of fact, the first 1,000-yard rusher at the University of Tennessee, I coached him, but I really didn't coach him a whole lot. I just kind of told him where to line up and said, hey, when you get tired, let me know, and I'll put somebody else in for a player or two. Johnny Jones, by the way, great.
Johnny Jones,
great, yeah. Player for us. Go, Johnny, go. But anyway, let's kind of take a look. Matt House leaving Kentucky, and the interesting thing to me about that is not that Matt House left. He's going to the Kansas City Chiefs, linebackers coach. It's the fact that what might happen there, strong speculation, and it could be just because it makes sense, or maybe it makes sense. Mark Stoops' brother, Mike Stoops, mm-hmm. defensive coordinator, former head coach at Arizona, former two different stints defensive coordinator for his brother, Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, let go this year. Is he going to end up at Kentucky, you think?
There's a lot of speculation about that. Nothing solid. To me, that's a risk. I'm sure Mike Stoops is a fine fellow and a fine football coach, but he did have his issues at Oklahoma. Certainly the being a head coach at Arizona, that did not work out. And, Kentucky's got so much momentum based off of last season. I just wonder if you're Mark and you love your brother and all that, but if that's the smart way to go.
Well, and again, who can I get? Who's the best out there?
Yeah.
And, the thing about Mike was, and I followed Mike's career, like all the Stoops brothers, but, some of his issues were that he kind of had some problems on the sideline controlling his emotions, and he was banished to the press box. But we'll see there. Good coach. Absolutely no doubt about that. I mentioned Jim Leavitt. What are you hearing about him leaving out there? And you, folks, this is a guy you probably hadn't heard too much of. But he was you go back to that Kansas State head coach where all the Stoops boys were, and there were like five or six guys came out of Bill Snyder 20 years ago. Leavitt was at South Florida for years and did I think he started the program down there, didn't he?
He did start the program, sure did. Got him to number two, I want to say 2007. They were ranked number two at one point during the season.
Went to Oregon a couple of years ago and was really thought of one of the top defensive coordinators. He's leaving, and they settled for a buyout on that. Bottom line is this: there's a guy to keep your eye on to go somewhere. He is a quality defensive coach.
Absolutely.
He'll make it in this league. Back to this league, I do not know. I mentioned the coaching carousel kind of going around now, and you've named it. Alabama with seven new assistants. Let's talk just a little bit about that. We touched on that just a little bit. Charles Kelly coming in. Now, he's not named the defensive coordinator. That's one of the interesting things to me. Charles Kelly, first off, I think I'm correct on this. I'm correct at Alabama. I think ever since Nick Saban started coaching, certainly if you go to where he was at, certainly at LSU, he's always had a secondary coach as his defensive coordinator. Remembering he is a secondary coach, still coaches the corners actively every day in practice. He works individual periods with those cornerbacks. Kelly's in there, very highly thought of course, at Tennessee last year, Florida State before that. Pete Golding, I think, is the guy that has been on the staff that Saban named as defensive coordinator. But interesting to me how Coach Saban's going to handle and what Charles Kelly's role is going to be during games. Interesting on that. Have you heard any particular thing about that? Steve Sarkisian, by the way, will be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they made this announcement yesterday as who the staff was, but they didn't get into what game day responsibilities were going to be. But obviously you and I both know that Pete Golding is the defensive coordinator. He's listed as such, but everybody understands that they're running Nick Saban's defense and that the head coach is going to stick his head in that door from time to time.
Well, that's his background, Coach Saban's background. During games, and I've watched him kind of evolve in this, he's not – as involved game day with the defense, so that he'll go over there and talk to him every now and then. But rightfully so. I mean, you got a lot of things you got to decide as a head football coach during game day. Interesting to me that Jeremy Pruitt, I thought he would spend one more year, Coach Pruitt would, as the game day play caller. He has turned that over, and I think one of the reasons he's done it, he got Derek Ansley back in there, who is as – I read a comment that Coach Pruitt said was, you know, he can finish a sentence for me. Now, what does that mean? That means that they coach that they understand what they want on it. So, and I think it's a good move for Coach Pruitt. It is difficult for a head football coach, and with the responsibilities of a game day as a head coach, to call one side of the ball. We've seen guys do it. Spurrier did it, and we've seen other people do it. But boy, I think this is a good move for Coach Pruitt, and bringing Ansley in gives him the opportunity to do that. Another pretty good dollar figure being paid out there, by the way.
Well, and to me, it's yet another example, you know. And we talked about this, that Jeremy Pruitt would grow into his role as a head coach. Because look, if you've never done it, you can talk about it all you want. But and you told me this, and other coaches have told me this, until you sit in the chair, you really can't fully appreciate what all is involved. And so you have to grow as a coach. And I think Jeremy Pruitt grew a lot in his first year.
Well, I was never a head coach, but I can tell you this from being on the sideline. When the head coach asks you what you think to give your opinion on what you should do and making a particular call during the game, it's pretty easy to say, I think we need to do this, because if he does it or doesn't do it, it's on him, not you. When you become that head coach, all of a sudden, look what we've seen this year. Do you think Kirby Smart didn't learn that going for it to fake punt? Do you think that you know, now sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out, but those are what head coaches, the mental part of a head coach is what always fascinated me during the game. Completely different during the week, but during the game, staying ahead of the down and distance, looking down the road and saying, okay, are we going to go for it for two? Are we going to go for it on fourth down? And then relating that to your defensive and offensive play callers means a lot. I one of the things that I saw so many head coaches not do, if you know you're going to go for it on fourth down on a particular drive, let your offensive coordinator know, play caller, and you'd be amazed how many head coaches don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
When you see a head coach have to take a timeout to discuss whether to go for it on fourth down or not, that is not, to me, an involved head football coach. You made that decision now. You let your play caller know, hey, if it's third down and three and I know I got two downs, I may call a different play than if I just have one down. So that's some of the things that head coaches, some things they have to do. And it's completely different during game day. Final thought.
Well, I was going to give you another example that I heard from Kevin Steele. Remember last year they opened the season with Washington in Atlanta. And there came a point in that game where Washington had the ball and a chance to go back ahead, possibly win the game at the, late. Kevin Steele told Gus Malzahn, Coach, we're going to win the game. We're going to try to win the game right here. That was his way of saying, I am sending everybody in this series to get to their quarterback. But Kevin, and so Gus Malzahn was ready for that. He said, we're not going to wait. We're going to win the game right now.
Of course, so. Kevin Steele had the advantage of being a head coach and knowing those decisions. All right, more with Tony when we come back. I'll talk to you about Delta Dental of Tennessee. You know, a great smile makes a great impression. We know that. We also know this. We've learned this over the years, that what's going on behind that smile, that what's going on in your mouth is much, much, much more important. And I didn't know this till I started working with Delta Dental 4 or 5 years ago now. Just a simple dental exam can detect up to 120 signs and symptoms of diseases. Now, think about that. I kind of gloss over that occasionally. Just a simple dental exam. Your dentist can find out maybe if you have a serious disease or if you have something, a condition that really needs to be looked at by a simple dental exam. That's where Delta Dental can come in. If you don't have dental insurance, your business doesn't have it, for whatever reason you don't have it, there are a myriad of individual plans. I took advantage of them 3 or 4 years ago for me and my wife. My kids are out of the house. Didn't need it for a whole family. We found a plan that was good for us, and there's a bunch to choose from. Check them out. Find out all about them at coveryourmouth.com.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey, man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little Did I Just Win $50 fun.
Woo! Yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Serious injury? Well, that's serious business, and no one takes it more seriously than Cody Allison and Associates. For nearly 2 decades, representing clients in truck accident, auto accident, and workers' compensation cases, returning clients' calls the same day or early the next day, keeping their clients informed, well, that's the Cody Allison way.
Communication with clients about the status of their case? That's the Cody Allison way. Simply pick up the phone and call 615-234-6000. Also online at CodyAllison.com.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or post-game snack. Enjoy a Hebrew National Chili Dog, barbecue bacon cheeseburger, crispy homemade onion rings, dog bowl nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Now, Forkless System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Got one more segment here with Tony in this hour. Then he'll be back with us for one more segment at the in the second hour. Charles Davis will be on with us for a segment. And then Bill Justice up in Lexington for the Tennessee Kentucky game, number 5, number 1 play today, or this evening, up in Lexington, Kentucky. Tony, a couple of off-the-field NCAA issues, a little bit different, but in some ways about the same. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Missouri and the punishment there, and then also Ole Miss. Just I'm going to comment on this. NCAA vacates 33 wins. This is akin to me to spitting in the ocean.
It's, you know, silly.
It really is silly. I don't know why the NCAA does this, because nobody cares anything about it all. But having said that, Ole Miss now has 33 fewer wins, and Alabama, if they want to count it, has one more victory in 2014. So, as you said, though, well, you say you were at the ball game, right, in person.
I saw it.
Who won that game?
I believe Ole Miss won that game. So,
anyway,
yes.
Academic booster, recruitment, all that, different types of things. It's happened to many schools, many schools. Anyway, that's one. The situation at Missouri, though, is much different. Every time the NCAA hammer drops on anybody, it's normal for a school to protest. That's just part of the, you know, part of the deal. It's kind of like when an attorney comes out after his client's lost a case, we're going to appeal. But this, I think, went a little bit further. Boy, Missouri is on the warpath about this
yes.
cotton picking thing, man. They are upset. And you know what? I can understand it, and I don't know that they're wrong in this instance.
No, I just think that the punishment did not fit the crime. You're talking about one part-time person. And what it comes down to, Doug, is did the investigators believe Missouri when Missouri said we did not instruct this tutor to do what she did. So that's number one. Number two, based on previous cases, the postseason thing was the thing that caught everybody by surprise. Because when have you heard of a postseason ban lately? Okay, not they haven't been very many of them. So they are appealing. They are appealing aggressively. John Sundvold, who's their great, great All-America basketball player, also happens to be the chairman of either the Board of Trustees or one of their who oversees it, and he has come out strong. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting kid. They're going to take the appeal all the way.
Well, a couple of things on this, too. Let's kind of just lay out there what happened. The major, I'm sure there were a few secondary, but the major thing was exactly what Tony said, is that they had a tutor who was essentially doing the work for players. That's not unusual, let me say like that. But I've been to 7 different universities. It's what to what degree a tutor helps. Let me put it like that. But I think the thing that really ticks off Missouri, and I'd agree with them, they were 100% worked with the NCAA. They didn't try to hide anything. They opened up all their books, and then they get hammered like this. But that the bowl ban, Tony, is what is really, you know, we can take a scholarship loss. We can take a few other things. Right. Okay, slap us on the wrist or hit us in the mouth. But, well, that bowl ban, what that did was that now kicked in the rule where if you're banned from a bowl and on probation, every single senior that you have is eligible to leave. And, you know, Coach Odom a little upset about some of the schools who are coming after his seniors. Now, we can debate on whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. The fact of the matter is it is legal, and that's what's going on right now.
No, and one of the reasons it's legal is because they made the rule that said you can't block a guy from transferring where he wants to go. You can no longer do that. So you can't make a rule that says, well, you can't go to any other SEC school. You can't make that rule. And so if that rule is in effect, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that schools within the SEC are going to contact. But Barry Odom is upset about it. There was a coaches meeting in Birmingham this week, and he told Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com that he was going to bring it up. So I bet that was a fun meeting.
I didn't talk to anybody that was in the meeting, but I've talked to a couple of people who are directly involved with the people who were in the meeting. And I think Odom's a pretty tough fella, by the way.
Oh, he's an old linebacker.
I mean, and I think he pretty much said what he wanted to say, rightly or wrongly, on that. And, you know, Tony, just as fans looking at it, here's what fans don't understand, and it's completely apples to oranges. But as involved as I am with college athletics, it's even puzzling to me sometimes. You sit there and you see what's happening over at North Carolina, where it was essentially the same thing and worse. But
it was worse.
But there's no, you know, because it was technically under the university and not the athletic department, the NCAA can't get involved in it. And that's what kind of puzzling to people. How, you know, so anyway. All right. Up against, I got to go hit Tony one more segment when we come back. Let's talk a little turkey with the guy who's he's not a turkey, but he knows about turkeys. Don King with the TWRA. Talk a little turkey to me, Don.
Sure enough, hey, this weekend is the big NWTF, or the National Wild Turkey Federation, annual conference out at Opryland. It's being held all day today and tomorrow, so any of our listeners out there that are looking for something to do on kind of a dreary day, not many times do I recommend staying indoors, but today might be a good one to go take in the NWTF convention. We've got a booth out there. We'll have folks answering questions, and there are seminars that go on all day. And Wild Turkey Federation has been very instrumental in helping us restore our turkey population across the state, and that restoration started probably four decades ago, but has been very, very successful. As you know, people just driving around can attest to. You'll see a little flock of turkeys cross a road every now and then in front of you. You might have to stop for. So that's a good problem. But anyway, I just wanted to invite everybody to come on out and remind everybody too that new licenses go on sale February 18th, and we can do a pre-sale out at the convention today. Our folks are out there, and if you just go by the booth and you want to get a jump on the new season and purchase your license, you're welcome to do that today.
I did it at your booth about 4 or 5 years ago at the NWTF.
That's right.
And you know what I remember about that day, other than a stellar performance by you, by the way, was I forgot to bring my earplugs with me, because every turkey caller in America, or at least in Tennessee, was in that building calling turkeys. So
you are totally correct. You got to get used to that sound when you walk through the door, for sure. You can buy a turkey call. You can learn how to use one if you got one and you don't know how to use it. It's an amazing get-together out there.
I played and coached in a lot of loud stadiums. I don't think I was ever anywhere where it was any louder than that. Don, as always, thanks so much. TWRA and all the things that we've talked about today, and the license and all that, 10wildlife.org. Great website. Very informative website that I recommend you go to. Talk to you next week, Don.
Thanks so much, Doug. Talk to you then.
We'll take our top of the hour break. More with Tony Barnhart. More with Charles Davis. More with Billy the Legend when we come back.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Powerstroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Now, Forkless System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at idrivetsh.com.
Probably talk a little bit tomorrow and maybe next week, get into a little bit more detail when time allows of the kind of the NCAA reviewing the new rules on granting waivers for sitting out a year. Tony, let's hit that real quickly, though. Some statistics came out. First off, when the NCAA and the committee and the coaches and everybody got together on this, coaches weren't too big on it, but when they started looking at granting waivers for undergraduates for particular reasons, and there's a lot of reasons why. Let's say that you're from Nashville, Tennessee. You go to school out of the University of Oregon. A family member gets sick or there's a tragedy. That's something that's a waiver. There's other things that are in there, too. You can give me the exact or as close as you can wording to the reason that you can be asked for a waiver. It's pretty broad. Bottom line is, though, when the NCAA decided to do this, sounded like a pretty good idea, but at the time, I know the committee on it thought it was going to be very rare. Well, it's anything but rare now. And what have we seen now? Since 2018, the start of the 2018 football season, school year, there has been 29 waiver requests, and what, about 65-66% of them have been granted. That's not what the committee envisioned, was it?
No, it's 19 of 29 this year, and then since they changed the language in the rule, Doug, and it really had a lot to do with the Shea Patterson Ole Miss group of guys. And they changed the rule that said, you know, you can get a waiver if something is beyond your control and it impacts, quote, the well-being of the student athlete. Now, well-being is a phrase, you call it broad. I would say you could drive a Mack truck through that, okay? And since that language was changed dating back to last year, there have been 63 cases, waivers applied for, 79% have been granted. So what has happened, Doug, is that everybody in the NCAA, wait a minute, this is not what was supposed to happen. You know, you aren't supposed to grant 70-80% of these things. And so now they're saying, okay, the NCAA announced on Friday, okay, we're going to go back and look at it and see if we've been a little too hasty. Well, Doug, that horse is out of the barn. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do now, because they understand that the member schools are saying, this is never what we intended. But what do you do now, Doug, that you've already granted all these waivers? You can't retroactively go back and change it. Those guys are done. And Tate Martell, the Ohio State quarterback who's trying to get eligible at Miami, his is the next one in the hopper. Going to be interesting.
Well, Tennessee's got two up there. They got a defensive line transfer Michigan. They got a defensive back transfer from Georgia. And what's happened on this thing, it's gotten to a legal in the courts. It's got to legal action against it. That started with Ole Miss. And the young men down there, the five that transferred out of there. Tony, it's like taxes. It's like, you know, I always use this example. When I was just a little boy, Oklahoma built some new highways, interstates out there, and they put a toll on it. They were going to keep that toll on there until those interstates were paid for. That was 55 years ago. I was out there Tuesday, yeah. And I paid $4.25 to drive from Tulsa to Miami, Oklahoma. So obviously, I guess they don't have it paid for yet. But that's what happens. These things rarely are they rescinded, and now they've got themselves over a. They got themselves in a hole on this thing. I don't know what's going to happen. I'll say this, and I know I look at it from a little different angle, but this isn't good. I hear people talking about how, and mostly it's former players. You know, you ought to be able to move anytime you want to. Well, that's not true. You lose the structure of collegiate football being able to do that. And I always remind people of this, and yes, I know that it's how you look at it. When you sign that scholarship or grant a national letter, doesn't have anything to do with the scholarship. When you sign that national letter, it in big bold letters makes you extremely aware that you are signing with the university. You're not signing with the coach. You're not signing with the assistant coach. You're not signing with the football program. You're signing with the university. Now, I know you can poo-poo that, but the bottom line is you signed a contract, and if you're underage, your parents have signed a contract with you on it, and that's being done away with now. There probably do need to be some exceptions. But we're heading on this thing now, and that's what this Missouri thing's got to now. I'm going to talk with Charles Davis about this when Charles comes on in the next segment. But now it's open season on those players. There's nothing you can do. And just wait till one of these teams, one of these years, loses 15, 20, 25 players off their team and has to play the next year. That's where we're headed on this thing, I think. And I don't know how you get it under control right now.
Well, and that's the thing. Can you go back now and change the rule yet again? Because if I'm those two Tennessee players or the guys who want to transfer to Tennessee, if I'm Tate Martell and I'm waiting on you're not going to change the rules in the middle of the game. You know, my lawyer's not going to be very happy about it. So yeah, they have dug this hole by because they dug. The waiver process is exactly what you just said it was. It was to take a hardship situation and to help. It was never 80% of the waiver requests being granted. That was never the intent of this rule.
Anyway, we'll try to keep you updated on that a little bit. Let's hit just a couple of other things. It's never too early. Maybe it is too early. SEC Media Days coming up in July. We got all of that set. What are your Media Days? Are they as big as they used to be, Tony? I don't think they are. Maybe I'm wrong. Are they? Are they as big?
Well, the SEC thing has gotten completely. It's just you're talking 1,000 media people when you add it all up together. It's unbelievable, and it was interesting last year to have it in Atlanta. It was a totally different feel to the thing. We're going back to the Winfrey Hotel in Hoover for this year, and then I think the SEC's got some decisions to make about what they're going to do in the future.
My bet is they're going to move that puppy around. I think we're going to see it in Nashville, and I have no reason to say this other than the fact that I live in Nashville on it. So anyway, that's with all those media people in there, it's probably the largest collection of low IQs of anywhere those 3 days in the southeast or maybe even outside the southeast. Mark Slaybaugh, who I like, by the way, but you know, let me just say this real quick. I don't give enough credit sometimes. I read a lot of and I mean a lot of the ESPN, CBS, and other not blogs as much as just information. You know what, Tony? There are a lot of good, insightful articles out there by many in your profession that if you dig into them and try to, you know, you don't look at it from a jaundiced viewpoint, a lot of information out there right now that's available to if you really like and enjoy college athletics.
Well, Mark Slaybaugh is one of the guys I'm really proud of. He worked for me when he was a student at Georgia, and I was at the AJC, and we hired him right out of college. And he is blossomed into one of the very best. And one of the things he likes to do is, and I'll see him in the press box on national championship game working on it. And I did this year. He's way, 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 way too early, top 25. And then after recruiting, he does an update on the way, way too early top 25.
Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's who he has on his way too early. Kind of interesting to me. I think maybe he, as he got down, he was looking to get a rise out of something. He has Army at number 25. Army's not going to be the 25th best in the team in the country next year, I don't think.
But
maybe,
hey,
maybe they will be. I don't know.
They won 11 games and they scared Oklahoma.
I was going to say, they're still talking about that out at Oklahoma. Well, that was one of the things they were talking about out there. Just kind of looking down through this list, though, almost everybody he mentions starts with the quarterback. Trevor Lawrence returning to a returning Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. By the way, kind of some interesting thoughts on Jalen Hurts coming out there. Jalen Hurts is a quality quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he's in the talent level of the two cats that were just there. Of course, both of them won Heisman Trophy. Yeah, that's pretty. I guess nothing earth-shaking there. Georgia, you got, again, quarterback. Ohio State, Justin Fields going up there. Texas, quarterback. Michigan, quarterback. Oregon, quarterback. Pretty good time to be a quarterback then nowadays, isn't it?
Well, and you probably ain't going to be in that top 10 unless you got one. That's for sure.
The only one I see in there is, it's still got to be proven to me that Justin Fields is a top flight quarterback, talented.
He's not there yet.
He ain't there yet. If he was, guess what?
He'd be a Georgia.
He'd still be a Georgia, that's right. Notre Dame is another one in there. Let's get one last call in here. I don't take too many phone calls, but I normally take Auburn boy when he comes on. He sometimes has some interesting things to say. War Eagle to you, my friend.
War Eagle, I'm glad you finally allowed phone calls, man. You've been blocking them for a long time.
Well, I know. I haven't been blocking all
You've
of
been
them.
Busy.
Just you.
I like that. Well, when I was listening, I just had to call and say, bring back Talking Football, Tony. That was the best show ever. The shame that went away because you mentioned Mark on there, and we really do miss it. But,
thank you.
I think last time I called, I said Auburn's now a basketball school. Well, I guess I was wrong on that, too. I guess we'll find out today. I hope Vanderbilt doesn't give them they don't get their first win off of Auburn. But, War Eagle, good talking to y'all.
Good enough.
All right, Auburn boy.
I don't think Auburn will ever, ever be a basketball school. Let me rephrase that. In my lifetime, I don't think Auburn will ever. You know, I got about, I can probably name 10 Auburn people I know. I don't think I've ever had a basketball conversation with any of them. Occasionally, Charles Barkley's name comes up every now and then.
Right. Well, they've had moments of good basketball.
Yes, they had.
At Auburn.
Yeah, they
they've
have.
Had moment. They've had really good moments.
Of all the fan bases I know, I think they are the most understanding or loyal or whatever it would be. And loyalty is not right. There's a lot of fan bases that are very loyal, but the Auburn fan base I think is more understanding. Not that they're greatly understanding, they're just more understanding than most other fan bases from the standpoint of, hey, you know, we know what we got down there and we know how we do things. And anyway, Tony, I got 30 seconds for you to give me a last thought before I got to boot you out of here, my buddy.
Well, I appreciate it. And as February starts to wind down, which blows my mind, we'll be hitting the road to do our spring tour, and I'll be doing some pro days. I got three pro days already lined up for the SEC Network, and you know it's time to quit resting, time to get back on the road.
I'm going to do a little bit more this year as a on the road in Oklahoma. I don't know that I'll go that far away, but I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the Wednesday show. We're kind of expanding that a little bit. So, as always, Bud, good, and I'll give you about 5 minutes to talk basketball next week too.
So I appreciate
that. Do your homework.
I will. I can't stay up with the legend, but I'll do my best.
All right. By the way, Billy Justice, be on with us at the bottom of the hour. Tony Barnhart, of course, with us each and every week for a whole hour. And Charles Davis will be up next. Stover's Liquidation. Their name really says it all, the liquidation part of it. And it's Stover's Liquidation. What does that mean? Big box returns, great products at really excellent prices. These guys know what they're doing. You know, they've been doing it a long time up in Bristol and Knoxville and Cookeville, and of course the last couple, 3 years right here in Antioch. If you're looking for commercial grade janitorial supplies, they got them 80% off regular retail. If you're looking for anything that has to do with your backyard, your front yard, your house, anything, appliances, great deals at Stover's Liquidation. 40 to 50% off at least the lowest price at the big, big box stores. Don't forget about their treasure hunt. Every Thursday, they load night. They load those bins up starting Friday. You can come in, and anything in those bins start at $5. It decreases every day until the next Thursday, whatever's left. You can buy it for a quarter, 2 bits. Remember the old 2-bit, 4-bit, 6-bit chant? That's back when I was a kid. Stover's Liquidation. Check them out online at stoversliquidation.com.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And know is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced, each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, it's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues with Charles Davis, presented by attorney Burt McCarter, online at mcelaw.com.
All right, let's get right to old number 22, world traveler. Well, at least he's a U.S. traveler. You at home today?
No, I'm in Atlanta today, Coach.
Yeah, you're always somewhere. Always somewhere.
They never let me to stay in one place for very long.
What's going on in Atlanta today?
College football, the Black College Football Hall of Fame ceremony that I'll be co-hosting with my colleague Steve Weiss from NFL Network tonight, and excited about seeing another class go to sex with the 10th class.
You've emceed that several years, haven't you?
We have. I think we're in like year 7, maybe 8. I can't really remember. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Boy, some great history there, Charles. Maybe we'll do a show on that sometime. And I guess this is kind of, I'm assuming that probably they do it this month because of Black History Month, right?
Yeah, this fits perfectly in, you know, Black History Month, College Football Hall of Fame is right here in Atlanta now. And we do actually do the ceremony at the College Football Hall of Fame. So everything ties in really, really well that way. And I'm excited about seeing another class go in. Got names like John Taylor. People remember him from San Francisco 49ers. He's going in tonight. And one of my personal favorites, Rich Tombstone Jackson. And I love the nickname. He played defensive end for the Denver Broncos, and would probably be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame if it wasn't for a knee injury that cut his career short. But he's going in representing Southern University. And Emerson Boozer, people may remember that name, played running back with the Jets when they won the Super Bowl in 1967-68 season. He was the other running back with Matt Snell. So he's going in tonight, but he can't make it. So guess who's sitting in for him? His quarterback, Joe Willie Namath. So how cool is that?
Oh, man, that is super. Tombstone, what a nickname. You know, kind of, that's right up there with bad news, isn't it?
It really is, isn't it? It's one of the all-time great nicknames. And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, it's probably him because of that. But if you go back and look at the record, Tombstone was a heck of a player. And if he hadn't torn up his knee, and just think about medical science then versus now, he would have played a long time and definitely would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
You know, Charles, that was roughly 50 years ago. Lester McLean, who I've got to know exceptionally well, lives right here in Nashville, from Antioch, the first African-American to play at the University of Tennessee. I think 68, I believe, was his sophomore year. Of course, freshman didn't play back then. Got to know him very well since then. And, I've done some... studying. I'm going to do some shows at some point about the historical black historical schools. The Tennessee State, Tennessee A&Is, the Gramblings, the Florida A&M, and what great athletes they had back then, because that was where you had a couple of choices. If you were a black football player in the South, you could go north. Or you could go to a historical black university. And boy, talk about some great teams. I remember when I was playing at Vanderbilt back in the late 60s, and got to know several of the guys that played over at Tennessee State.
Yeah.
Joe Gilliam being one of them.
Yep.
Just tremendous, tremendous athletes. And what a difference being able to play. It kind of hit real quickly, if you don't mind talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons that you came to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I came to Tennessee very briefly. I was sitting at home watching Tennessee-UCLA season opener. I believe it was 1974, Coach. And I was sitting at home in New Paltz, New York with my dad. My dad played quarterback at a historically black college. It's Bluefield State, West Virginia, which is now an integrated school, has been since the 70s, I believe. But he played quarterback back then, so he was keenly attuned to, you know, quarterbacks and how few black quarterbacks were playing around the country. And that day, Condrick Holloway was playing for Tennessee. And I fell in love watching him play. I think anyone who watched him play fell in love with his style of play. But for us, there was the added deal that he was a black quarterback playing in the SEC in 1974. And, I was too young to totally get the significance. But I knew it was a big deal, just by being around my father that day. And I fell in love with Condors. I fell in love with Tennessee, and told my dad at the end of that game, 17-17 tie, that I was going to go to Tennessee and play football. And he's like, okay, yeah, whatever. And fortunately enough for me, it actually worked out. And I never had the pleasure of actually meeting Condridge, believe it or not, until post-college, because he was playing in Canada during the time I was at Tennessee, and their seasons really run in the summertime, all the way through Thanksgiving. So we never saw him during the season. And then I saw him at an event, and I couldn't believe it. I was like a little kid. I was giddy, and I went up to him, and he said, yeah, I've already heard the story people told me. And so it was really cool, and I've been able to be friends with him ever since. But you have to remember, you know, Condor's coming in and playing during that time. That was a big deal. I believe he played for Coach Bill Battle.
He did?
Coach Dickey, and you mentioned Lester McLean. When I was at Tennessee, I actually did a paper on Lester McLean. So I had the fortune enough to be able to interview him. He granted me access and time with him. And I was able to interview him, talk to him, do my paper with a little video segment to it, the whole deal. And, you know, understood keenly what he meant to not just me, but to many of us who came to play at Tennessee, and how he broke down barriers and opened doors. His coach at Tennessee, Doug Dickey. And my condolences to Coach Dickey and his family today after the loss of his wife, Joanne. And so, you know, my teammate Daryl and the rest of the family, wherever you guys are, I believe in Florida, my condolences to all of you, the loss of Mrs. Dickey. She was a very nice woman.
Yeah, Coach Dickey's wife, Joanne, passed away this past week. They're going to have a I think they'll probably call it a celebration of life service.
Yeah.
Next Saturday, I'll be going down to that, as a matter of fact. And she had
got to be in Jacksonville, I believe.
Jacksonville. He lived in Jacksonville. I think she was from right down the road.
She's from Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach, that's right. So,
yep.
Anyway, yeah, one quick thing on Charles, and then we'll kind of move on this. I was at Tennessee when Charles came to Tennessee, or more importantly, when Charles became interested in Tennessee, and we didn't do a whole lot of recruiting in New York. As a matter of fact, we didn't do any recruiting in New York, and I remember when we got a phone call, it didn't come to me, but it came to somebody about this guy up in New York who was interested in Tennessee, and the conversation in our staff room, at least, why in the world would a guy from New York want to come to Knoxville? And I'll say this, buddy, for a lot of your teammates and a lot of your coaches, and especially me, I'm sure glad you did. And you never know, folks. You never know. You talk about role models. There's, without Condridge Holloway, Charles Davis is probably doing a show somewhere up in Albany, New York, or somewhere. But anyway,
that is true.
Let's get into one little topic here about transfers and. This is something, Charles, you can I've asked Charles to kind of approach this from coaches look at it one way, obviously, and players look at it another way. Now, most coaches, almost every one of them, were at some time players, certainly were players at some point, but we're seeing they're getting liberalized. To say the least, I don't know exactly where we're heading on this, but Charles, it's become a new day for players on, hey, if I'm not happy, or if I am happy and I just want to leave, or if I want to move up or change or whatever, we're getting closer and closer to that time being a reality.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, for so many years, there's been that discussion. And a lot of it wasn't necessarily among the player ranks. It was among adults who had either gone through it or reviewing it from a different prism and a lens, saying this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to them. You know, these transfer rules, you know, how punitive they can be. And I think that for the longest time they held in there because, let's just be frank about the whole thing, you know, a system set up by a group in a lot of ways is seen as an absolute complete privilege to be able to play college sports. And if someone were to award you a scholarship, well, if they had other restrictions and rules, so be it. All right. And that's just simplistic. And you know, it doesn't hold up a total thing. It's just a general deal. As time went on and we kept going, I think that as we looked at it and examined it more, you started to see that hold on just a second. Yeah. I just started to see that as time went on, people were looking at it a little bit more like, okay, is everyone covered in this one, and does everyone's rights, for lack of a better term, actually get addressed in this time? And in some ways, yes, in a lot of ways, no. And I think where we really took it to the edge, Coach, was when we got to the point of a kid would walk in and say, Coach, I'm not happy here. I want to go to XYZ school. And when we got to the point where we were saying, okay, that's cool, you know, you want to go somewhere else, it's not working out here, once you've talked it out, here's the places you cannot go. And here comes the list. You can't go within an 8-hour radius of our school. You can't go against any opponent we might play in during the time that you're in school. You can't go to... And after a while, I think it actually had the reverse effect with the public and with people. I think it actually turned them off. They're like, hold up a second. That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Like, I think, you know, transferring within the league, I think people kind of got that a little bit. You know, that's kind of like, okay, you know, you go from Auburn to Tennessee, Tennessee to Auburn, you know, that sort of a deal. Maybe that's not quite kosher. But to be able to say, well, you can't go within a 6-hour radius, and you can't go to, I think it wore on people. And then after a time, more and more people got involved. Here's where we are now without, you know, taking the X, Y, and Z. We don't have to do all of that, but that's where we are, and kids now have the hammer, again, for lack of a better term. Now, here's the issue, though. How will that hammer be used? Because you know, Coach, as well as I do, I'll have the numbers in front of me, but the transfer numbers are way up. And if you look at basketball, you know, the transfer numbers have been trending that way. I would say conservatively for the last 5 years,
every year in Division I has set a record for transfers in basketball. We're starting on that track in football, and a lot of it was with positions where you didn't get a chance to get on the field unless you were the guy.
Quarterback
position.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
if you don't touch the ball, well, those guys were transferring a lot. But we're seeing more and more guys, hey, I'm not getting my shot here. I need to go there. Tennessee's been the beneficiary of that. Tennessee's lost players because of that. That makes them no different than anyone else. You know, Alvin Kamara really wasn't going to play much at Alabama. Hallelujah, we got him at Tennessee and still didn't use him enough. But that's a story for another day. So that's how those things are working and trending. The unintended consequence of everything is, once again, we're going to make ourselves adversarial. I've already seen Pat Narduzzi, the head coach at Pitt. If you put your name in the transfer portal, you're gone. Because the kids have to understand, if you put your name in the transfer portal, if you decide to come back to your school, as I understand the rule, coach, they don't have to honor the scholarship anymore. Right? They don't have to say, well, you're back, here you go. If you come back, they may tell you have to be a walk-on, or you may have to work for it again. Narduzzi has pretty much said, if you put your name in, you're gone, period. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed now. I just want the young people who are involved, they've got some other things that go along with this. I'm glad that they have much more of a say in what they're going to do. They just have to make sure they know exactly what they want to do with it. Because, you know, we've seen the kids who've gone from school to school to school. Rarely does that work out very well.
Well, we will continue this next week. This all, some of it started when universities took away the four-year scholarship and went to a one-year renewable scholarship. So
yes.
That's kind of when some of this started. Charles, have a great day. I'm anxious to talk to you about what goes on. Is it tonight, I guess?
It is tonight, yes. It is tonight.
Well, that's super. I know you'll do a wonderful job, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Coach. I can't wait.
All right, buddy. Charles Davis, old number 22, with us each and every week. Let me talk to you about Wilson Bank and Trust, your Middle Tennessee and the Middle Tennessee Community Bank. They are part of the community in Middle Tennessee. You got 9 Middle Tennessee counties right now that they're in: Wilson, Davidson, DeKalb, Putnam, Rutherford, Smith, Sumner, Trousdale, and the newest one, Williamson County. That's where I do my banking. And they are community people. Friendly. A lot of people can be friendly. Really want to work with you. They don't ask you, what do you want? They ask you, how can we help you? And from my perspective, the thing that I like about them, one of the things, they're very committed to youth athletic sponsorships. They are big backers of athletics everywhere that they are, in all 9 locations. So if you looking to change, you want to work with great people, give them a chance. That's Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for 4 generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or a post-game snack. Enjoy Hebrew National Chili Dog, Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Homemade Onion Rings, Dog Bowl Nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
What better place to be talking a little college basketball at one of the homes of one of the Blue Bloods? Kentucky people think the blue blood of college basketball, Lexington, Kentucky, and that's where Billy the Legend is today, going to be at the game tonight. Bill, how are you?
Doing great, Doug, live from Lexington, Kentucky. Competition's already begun because I'm here with my UT teammate, Wes Kaufman, his wife, Jennifer, who was a Kentucky cheerleader, their son, Will, and his wife, Katie. They're all UK guys, so it's 2 UT and 3 UK with a friendly orange and blue divide to start the day.
Well, you got bragging rights, at least for a while, because Tennessee won both games last year. So on a two-game win streak somewhere in there, at least. So anyway, big ball game tonight. Bill, we're going to get into that here in just a second. But let's kind of take a look at the national picture right now. We're past halfway through the SEC tournament coming up about mid-March. That's about a month from now, something like that. Real quickly, tell us what you're seeing nationwide right now, where the teams are you like, and then we'll talk about this ball game.
Well, you know, the top five teams haven't changed a whole lot. Tennessee, Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky, those teams have kind of held their spots. Can't go through this day without emphasizing that, obviously, game of the day is Tennessee at Kentucky. We'll go into that in depth tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday, but, you know, can't overlook the fact that today that all eyes really on the country are there. There's only a couple of national ranked teams playing against each other today. 6 Michigan, 24 Maryland, 18 Kansas State, 23 Iowa State. Those are all top 20 matchups, top 25 matchups, but today the eyes are on Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, and we're going to have a repeat here pretty quickly down the road because they play again in Knoxville here in the not-too-distant future. Talk a little bit about this ball game. Two teams that play different styles of ball, although this year, as you've documented on this show and the Sunday show, Kentucky, not the one-and-doners so much this year. Still have some, but much it maybe experience is a loosely used word, but this is a much more experienced Kentucky team.
It is for them. Now, they still have great freshman players that contribute a lot. I think one of the keys, maybe the key to Kentucky, is Reed Travis, and certainly will be today. He's a 6'8 graduate player, very physical inside. He's one of the few guys, probably in the Southeastern Conference, that can play inside with Williams and Schofield and hold his own. Very good player, good statistics, double-digit scorer, top rebounder, and brings a steadying position on the floor to John Calipari's Kentucky team. I really like him. I like his efforts. Nick Richards, a 6'11 player who has probably underperformed. He may be a key today because of what he can do inside as a big guy. And then you've got a sophomore, P.J. Washington, one of their better players. Some people think the best, around 15 points a game, over 8 rebounds, a good shooter from each range. Kentucky's strong, got a little stronger experience than they've had in the past up against a Tennessee team that's got most of their roster has played for 3 years.
Bill, we kind of pigeonhole coaches, and sometimes we pigeonhole programs. John Calipari is thought to be an outstanding recruiter. Obviously, he is. I think highly, and I get most of this from listening to you, highly, highly underrated as a game day coach. And maybe the opposite for Rick Barnes, thought of much more as a game day coach, but also does an excellent job recruiting the types of players that he can have. Talk about those two. Been around a long, long time. And, you know, I don't know how you rank coaches, but two of the very top coaches in NCAA basketball.
No doubt about it. And if you go inside those two, you'll find that they have a great, deep respect for each other, both as coaches and as people. Coach Calipari does a great job of taking highly rated high school players who've been stars since they were, you know, 12 or 14 years old, getting those players to play together. And I can't undervalue how important that is. You've got some guys who have been the star their entire lives that don't even get in the starting lineup now. He's able to get those guys to play together as a team with seven or eight deep. In the case of Tennessee, they came in last year ranked 13th in the league before the experienced Blazers came in, and they tied for the SEC championship. They went into this year a highly ranked team, and they've lived up to it. So two coaches who really respect each other probably go about it in a little different way, but both two of the most successful coaches in college basketball.
Bill, the way that the game is scheduled now, almost all the top teams, certainly Kentucky and Tennessee, qualify for this. They play neutral site games. They play games on the road in front of very home-favored crowds. That'll happen in Lexington. It'll happen in Knoxville the other way in a few days from now. But this Tennessee team, watching them, they've any reason to think that they won't rise to the challenge, at least from a hostile crowd standpoint in this game?
No, I don't think so. But I also don't think there is an arena quite like Rupp Arena. Their basketball history is so deep. Their fan base is so dedicated. It will be just a spectacular atmosphere. Tennessee's players are on record saying this is exactly what we play for. We would rather play at Rupp Arena with this kind of crowd, with these things at stake, than we would to play a game that's meaningless. I mean, this is where they want to be, and it's just one more game on the ladder of games that they've got to play. They've got a very tough end of SEC schedule on the road against ranked teams and Kentucky at home. So this is preparing them for the next six or seven games, because it's a very tough schedule for them. The SEC closes out with some very good competition for Tennessee.
And I mentioned, of course, Tennessee won both games last year. You can probably bet that Kentucky's looking at this game the same way. This is a seeding game also in the NCAA when we get there.
No doubt about it. And Kentucky at 5, Tennessee at 1. And it's too early to tell this. I think with the schedules they've got left, both of them would be happy to make it through with just one more loss. And I don't know how they do that since they play each other twice. But they both will be seated high, and that's what they're playing for. You got to get yourself in position. What really matters in basketball is what happens after the regular season. When you go into the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, that's where you make history, and that's what's remembered.
I haven't read too much about this from a Kentucky perspective, but have you heard anything up there since you've been there about the end to their last game and the was it a goal 10, was it a not? Has that been discussed?
at depth, it has been discussed, you bet. They feel like that was a bad call, and I think it was. You know, when they slowed that down over and over and over, the hand was inside the hoop, and it's just obviously a goaltending that, you know, they don't review that call. And so the buzzer sounds and it's over. So I would agree that I think that's probably a call that was missed.
Well, and again, though, by rule, they couldn't look at that. They couldn't look at the one. They could look at it, but they couldn't do anything about the angle that they had on that. So anyway, that happens in basketball. Basketball, unfortunately, on that. Bill, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this game, but more importantly about the rest of the country. But going from what you have said about Kentucky and Tennessee, Kentucky's best opportunity to win this game, and they'll have great opportunity to win it. Does it get down to how well they shoot from the 3-point line in all likelihood?
Yeah, and they've improved there. They're at about 35% now. They're 48, 35, and 75. Those aren't bad numbers. One of the things that Tennessee has done, and I think they'll have to watch out for that, Tennessee has tended to outscore their opponents. You know, they average like 89 a game, and Coach Barnes has mentioned that he needs for them to toughen up, pay attention on the defensive end, and hold people to fewer points. So Tennessee and Kentucky both allow about 66 a game, but Tennessee's perfectly willing to win 90 to 80 if that's what it takes. And he wants a little bit better effort on the defensive end, more stops, and better performance holding opponents under their average score.
We got one more segment with Bill. When we come back, as we go to break, I'll talk to you about Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U. And remember this website after I go through this, Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U.com. Here's what I can tell you about Mandu. They came to me about 6 months ago talking about advertising on this show. As with anybody that comes on this show, I control all of that. I said, hey, let me find out a little bit more about you. So I enrolled and took their workout procedure. I tried it for a couple of months. And here's what I can tell you that it's done for me. It has worked great for me. One 15-minute Mandu workout gives me the strength workout that I used to spend 3 to 4 hours in the gym. And it does it by electrical muscle stimulation. 15 minutes, and that includes a 2-minute break in between, gets 6 to 7 hours for most people. Again, I was only spending about 3 in there. And for things like muscle gain, which I got a big plus on, fat loss, a big plus on, the visceral fat around your major organs, got a big plus on, feel better, hopefully look a little bit better. That's been my experience. You can check them out for yourself. The first appointment is completely free. You can sign up for it. If you come back, great. If you don't, well, you've given it a shot. And they can show you what they can do to help you for all ages. Listen, you got to be at least 18. But after that, women, men, old, young, rich, poor, great deals. Make sure you sign up for the college football playoff special or just mention my name. You'll get the lowest 15-session package. I highly, highly recommend this from a physical standpoint. That's MANDUU.com.
This February, it's all about the love from Walker Chevrolet. For over 90 years, Walker Chevrolet has been making customers number one. Walker Chevrolet has the all-new Silverado LT starting at $39,752. If you love SUVs, Walker Chevrolet is your Cupid. 2019 Equinox starting at $23,145. At Walker Chevrolet, it's all about the love they have for their customers. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KC110941. Equinox offer stock number, KL201689.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay coinsurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhealthplans.com.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Everybody likes to look dapper at some point in their life. Let me talk to you about McPherson's Menswear. That's the men's store where I shop. All of my clothes come from there, shoes all the way up. Socks, underwear. I don't have a hat. I don't wear a hat. I think they even got hats over there. And it's so simple to do. I simply get out of my car. I walk about 1 to 2 first and tens, and I'm there. Convenient. Not in the mall. Got their own location. 5920 Charlotte Pike. That's 2 blocks west of White Bridge Road. You can check out all of their selection of excellent men's clothing at McPherson'sClothing.com. And notice I said men's clothing. This is a men's store. They don't sell anything but men's clothing. the Ballon Pimp, the Hart Shafter Marks, Peter Millar, all of the great brands, they're open from 9 to 6, Monday through Saturday. Stop on out there and see them. They've been doing this since 1969. If clothes makes the man, then there's no question that McPherson's has the clothes for the man. Bill, one of the things that kind of got lost in the LSU, the way that game ended, was the fact how well LSU played in Lexington and what a great job they're doing down there. LSU is a factor in this league right now and nationally.
A very good team, and a team that Tennessee plays on the road later in the schedule. Will Wade's done a great job. He's got size. He's got experience. He's got good freshman players. His leading scorer is a junior and a sophomore and a senior. Those three guys are performing well for him. So, yeah, they started the season kind of under the radar, and now, you know, they've worked their way up into being a ranked team and somebody that is considered very dangerous as an SEC opponent. Yeah, so they've kind of been somebody that's creeped from out of the picture into to the national scene.
I think Will was at UT Chattanooga, highly thought of down there. Again, had some excellent teams down at UT Chattanooga. I believe that was him.
It was, absolutely. He was talked about at Tennessee at one time, yeah, and then went from UTC down to LSU. So I think probably one of the debates that's still so strong nationally is Duke. There still is a strong support that Duke is the number one team in the country. Certainly they have played like it. They certainly have the talent. With Zion Williamson, they've got a player that's been a focus nationally almost every week. Coach Cal's top four are all freshmen. So there is a push for them as the best team in the country. And any slippage on the part of Tennessee, and I think Duke would move right in there. Certainly right now, if you bracketed it, Duke would be a number one seed, and Tennessee would as well.
Well, I wish I had not have turned off the Louisville game at about the 12-minute mark, because it changed very rapidly. I was watching that game and kind of off and on, but pretty good comeback by them. Bill, fact of the matter is, though, I've heard you say this, it's nice to be the number one seed. If you're, what, top? Really, in the top eight, you're setting an excellent position going in, maybe more than that in the tournament.
That's right. And, I think it's probably unrealistic, even for Tennessee fans, to think that they make it the rest of the way without a loss with that schedule that they have. If they did, I wouldn't say I'm blown away, because of the way this team's come together and how they play. And when you listen to what they have to say, Doug, how they say it, what they say, what their goals are, the things that Rick Barnes has told them. We'll talk about that more tomorrow, and we've talked about it before, but this is a very mature team, and they've already, their own record, they really welcome this game today. They're looking forward to it. I don't blame them. There's not a better place in the world to play a college basketball game than Rupp Arena, and I think they will enjoy it, and I think they'll come out and compete well.
Hey, you look at these two teams. I've heard you talk about them all year long. Tennessee has some definite advantages in this game. Bill, one of the things that listening to national, and I'm talking about analysts who have coached and or played at a very, very high level, one of the things that comes about when they talk about Tennessee is the fact that they are more able than any other team in the country to get their shot. Explain that a little bit.
Well, I think it comes down to having what I think is so far as good a point guard as I've seen. I have not seen a better one. Jordan Bone, who has about a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, 2 would be terrific. He shoots the ball well. He passes it well. He's got down the floor speed that is unequaled by any point guard in the country. Good size. And so I think that's it. He gets his players in position to get the ball where they score the best, whether it's deep in the basket with the big guys or on the perimeter to Lamonte Turner, and he gets it inside to Kyle Alexander. He is the guy that makes his team go. He is an invaluable point guard equal to any in the country, and I think those stats show how good he is. If you're shooting a high percentage, it's because your point guard's getting the ball to his teammates where they are the best able to score.
Well, and Tennessee has shown, not every game, but consistently over this season, when it gets into a free throw shooting game, the advantage jumps to them, doesn't it?
77%. I like it to be 80, but, you know, when you've got some big guys that that don't shoot them as well. But the thing that's real impressive is the way they've shot the ball from the field at 51% on the year. And, again, I'll mention it again, 86 points per game, so they can put points on you. They're a team that doesn't necessarily have to have their very best player or players scoring for their team to play well. They've got six or seven guys that can go double figures, a lot of versatility. Duke has that same thing. Kentucky has that same thing, and I think you'll see that. With Virginia and another team in the top five, we got to talk about them. Their play is grinded out slow, make the offense on the other team defend them, make them go right to the shot clock before they get a shot off. Very, very good defensive team, but a much different style and very hard to prepare for.
Well, I watched a lot of that Duke-Virginia game, the second one, this one we just saw, and I think it's the second one. Anyway, the one that was just played. You know, I know college football coaches do this. I know basketball coaches do, too. You look at when if you're going to get matched up, a lot of people are going to be watching the way that Virginia plays against Duke because Virginia, I would say, Bill, is similar, not as offensive oriented as Tennessee, but very similar to the style of ball they play.
Well, Duke, if you look at offense, Duke's 92 points a game, Tennessee's 86. Virginia gives up 53. In today's college game, that is really playing good defense. Some of that is very strong defense. The rest of it is that Virginia just dictates the pace of the game, and they don't let you get going up and down the floor like you'd like to do. So a legitimate top five team, and those four or five teams, I think, are all teams that have a very good shot at a number one seed.
Bill, probably, what, seven or eight teams have a really good shot at winning? Anyone can win it, but if you look at the end, probably seven or eight, you can name seven or eight teams that would not be a surprise if any of those seven won.
I think that's exactly right. You know, Tennessee, Duke, Gonzaga, University of Virginia, Kentucky, Michigan, maybe Nevada that we don't know anything about, but they're still 23-1. And then probably North Carolina would be thrown in there, although maybe they're not quite as strong as they have been. But those other teams, on any given night, those teams can beat anybody.
Tell Coach Sampson, who's an excellent coach, doing a good job down at Houston, too. That was pretty much a lot of talk out in Oklahoma when I was out there. Bill, give us about a 30-second summary of what you expect tonight.
I expect a close game. I expect both teams to be at their very best. One thing that will not let us down will be the crowd. It's just going to be a tremendous atmosphere, I think. The Kentucky players expect it, and I think the Tennessee players look forward to it. I think it's going to be a great contest. Kentucky's probably a slight favorite based on playing the game at Rupp Arena. Could come down to don't turn the ball over and don't let the other team get offensive rebounds.
Probably expect it to go down to that last minute, right?
I would think so. In fact, I hope so. I hope it's that kind of game. The fans deserve it, and both teams do as well.
Well, hey, get a good night's sleep. You got an early curtain call tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
Is Lexington,
we'll be on tomorrow.
Lexington's Eastern time, though, isn't it?
It is Eastern time, yeah. So it'll be way past my bedtime when this game's over.
Bill, we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Coach.
Bill Justice, again, will be in Lexington tomorrow, Big Orange Sunday. He'll come on about 8:30 tomorrow. I'm going to take a really good look tomorrow at exactly where Tennessee is right now. Coaching staff all set. We'll talk about the assignments there, what they're going to be doing. Looks like this is the 10 that's going to be there. I say looks like. Always some things could happen. I'm going to take a look at how the 10 early enrollees and the 22 signees will integrate with this team, where they're going to be, and a little bit of what this team's going to look like, football team's going to look like in 2019. Thanks so much for being part of the show. As always, Ryan Albanese produces this puppy, does a great job. Tony Barnhart, Charles Davis, Bill Justice, all valuable contributors, and most importantly, thank you for being part of the show. We got a lot of sports to talk about here in the next few weeks, and again, if you're a Tennessee fan, we'll be on tomorrow, 8 o'clock, for Big Orange Sunday. For the fine folks at Forklift Systems, this is Doug Matthews, and we'll see you next Saturday on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.